Hallelujah. Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Glory, glory, glory be to God. What a beautiful, amazing God we serve. I hope you are excited and I find you well in your homes with your families. I am excited. I am so blessed to be here with you guys. I'm so blessed to be used of the Lord to speak into your lives today. I don't take it lightly at all. It's a huge honor that is such a huge blessing to me. So I'm very blessed to be here and I really want to appreciate my man of God, Prophet Eubin Angel, for affording me this opportunity to speak to you guys. So thank you so much, my personal prophet, Prophet Eubin Angel. Look at your jealousy. What's going on? Zoom church to my right and Zoom church to my left. What happened to you guys? It's really nice to see all of you live on all our social media platforms. We are on Facebook. We are on YouTube. We are on Instagram, Atomgram. We are on Sky TV 596. And we are also on Your Miracle TV. We are pretty much everywhere covering the globe with the good news. Glory be to God. I am just so excited because I know that God has a word in due season for somebody who is here today. I know that God is about to change your life for the best. Not the better, but for the best. And you see, this is the thing with these services. You must take it seriously, as we always say. Don't say, oh, well, it's online church. It's not real church. It's not like it's for real, for real. It's just, you know, online. So it's not that important. Every time you have an opportunity to get into the Word of God, that opportunity, take it, run with it. Very, very important. And I like something that Prophet said. I think it was just, was it yesterday? He said, God is a God of second chances, but not a God of second opportunities. Do you guys remember that? Prophet was live, I think it was yesterday. And he was saying, yes, God can give you so many chances, but when you miss an opportunity, it's very rare for an opportunity to come the second time. So when you have an opportunity to hear the word, to get into it, to delve into it, to dissect the word, take that opportunity, run with it. Today's anointing is different from yesterday's. Today's blessing that is contained in this service is different to Sunday's. It's different to this coming Thursday. It's different to last Tuesday. Every single session is different and it's unique. God is about to do something in your life today. Glory be to God. Now, I'm so excited because today's topic is what to do when you need a miracle. Now, I know that a lot of people are waiting to hear what God has to say. What do I do when I need a miracle? What is it that I need to do? Because some of you have bought that ticket to go to that healing service. You went to see that man of God and you came back home. You were exactly the same. Some of you saw a miracle service advertised on social media and you were the first one to register for that service. You went there, but you walked away empty-handed. You didn't have anything. You didn't experience anything. The person who invited you might have gotten something, but as for you, you went home empty-handed. You might have seen somebody advertise, today we are having a watch night, and it's going to be full of miracle signs and wonders. You attended that watch night, but you walked away empty-handed. So I have people who are watching me tonight who are wondering, God, why me? Why is it that every time I attend these miracle services, every time I attend something that has to do with a miracle, something that has to do with a breakthrough, I don't walk away with anything that has been broken through. I don't walk away with a miracle. I'm still the same. I still have the arthritis. I still have the blood pressure. I still have the exact same disease. I'm still in the same marriage problems. I'm still going through the exact same thing I was going through 5 years ago. So what do I need to do in order to get a miracle? What is it that I am missing? Is there anything that is wrong with you? Some of you have asked this question several times. Some of you have even prayed about it because it's so consistent. The way you have never experienced miracles in your life, it's so consistent. And so you have found yourself on your knees praying and crying out to the Lord, Father, why me? Why am I going through this? Why can I not get a miracle? Why is it that every time good things always seem to pass me by? So I know a lot of people watching tonight have said that prayer before. You have called out in desperation to the Lord and you have no idea what it is you need to do to get a miracle. We're going to get into it tonight and you will learn something. I want us to get into it right away. I know you've already shared this broadcast because you are amazing people, and this is what we do every service. So I want us to get started, and we are going into the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I want us to start on verse 4. We're going to look at two scriptures throughout the course of this particular service. And I want you to really concentrate. I want you to catch it. I want you to go home with something today. And after today, by the time we get to Night of Bliss this coming Sunday, because our prophet said we are going to have a buffet of miracles. Whatever you desire, whatever you want, it is going to be happening. So by the time you get there, your spirit is ready. You already know what it is to expect. So we are going to get into it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read from verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Do you see that? Are you guys there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Pastor Ronnie, read it for them.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Are not carnal. I want you to read it slowly so that they can actually capture it.
Yes, ma'am. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
They are not carnal.
But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
The pulling down of strongholds. What does verse 5 say?
Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Now, I want you to notice that there are three distinct things that have been mentioned in this scripture. Okay. Three distinct battles that have been mentioned that pertain to the mind. And this, just to give you a little bit of a background, Paul was addressing people who were living in Greece. The letters that were written to Corinth. Corinth is in Greece. So he was talking to people who were well-to-do. Because if you look at the location of Corinth, you will see that it is close to the Peloponnese. And we know about Greece because of our expeditions there. And you will see a lot of some of our broadcasts that are going to be live from Greece. And so if you look at that location of Corinth, you will find out that they are close. The whole region of Corinth is close to the water. So any merchants that would come, any ships that would come would dock in that particular place. And so we have a lot of rich merchants that Paul was preaching to. We have a lot of clever people. These people were well-to-do. These people were not struggling. A majority of them were not struggling. Majority of them were clever. Majority of them had PhDs because, you know, Greek philosophy, you know what I'm saying? We have people who are clever. We have people who know a thing or two. So Paul was not talking to people who are not clever here. All right. So this is just to give you a little bit of a background as to what Paul is trying to say here. So there are three things, and I want to show you the first one. It says, but mightily through God to the pulling down. This is talking about the warfare. It says to the pulling down. And that word pulling down is the word destroy. It's just to destroy. All right. To the pulling down of strongholds. That's number one. So we have pulling down of strongholds as number one. Then he goes on to verse 5 and he says the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's number two. We are looking into things that will help you get a miracle. I'm just laughing because I can see some of you in the realm of the spirit saying, okay, get to the part where I get a miracle. I was talking to one lady the other day and I was telling her my testimony. I was with Pastor Kay and we're talking to this lady. And we're telling her about Christ and witnessing to her. And she's a Muslim lady. And I started giving her my testimony. You know, one day, this is what God did for me. And she said, wait, 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 where is it? And I said, where is what? I said, where is it that you're saying? I said, what do you mean? She said, the prayer. Gave me, write down the exact prayer. What exactly what you said? I need it. I need to say the same prayer. So that's what I just remembered. And it's so funny because, you know, in other religions, you have your prayers written down. And they tell you if you recite this prayer, you're going to get a miracle. Recite it long enough and something will happen. Now, we're not talking about anything like that here. If you just catch this word, oh, glory be to God. If you can just catch this revelation, I tell you, this is a one-size-fits-all. Wherever you desire a miracle, it shall take place. Anything that is lacking in your life, after tonight, if you catch it, you're going to get it. So I'll repeat. Number one, he spoke about the pulling down of strongholds. Then we have the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's number two. And then we have number three, which is bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I'm going to break these down. Now, if you look at the expression pulling down in verse 4, you can see it, right? When you look at the expression pulling down, and also verse 5 says casting down, this is one and the same thing. What Apostle Paul was trying to say here was to destroy. Though both of those words have a root in the word that means to destroy. Are you here?
Yes.
So pulling down in itself is a verb. It's an action word. And it means katheros in the Greek. If you want to check it out in the Greek, it's katheros, which means to destroy, completely annihilate, as if something never existed before. All right. So that's both of those words. Are you here?
Yes.
So when we talk about casting down and pulling down, Paul was trying to tell them that anything that comes into your mind in this instance, you have to utterly destroy it. Pull that thing down. It wasn't just something like, oh, just get rid of it. He was trying to tell them to pull it down, cast it down, destroy it, annihilate it. It should never, ever exist again in your mind. That's the instruction that he was giving them. And so when we look at this, it's only natural that we look at what that word strongholds in verse number 4. It's saying pulling down. Okay, so now I understand that when we talk about pulling down and casting down, we're talking about completely annihilating something. We're talking about something that is completely destroyed. So, okay, so I understand that part. Now, we have to now establish what is it that you are saying I should completely destroy in my life. And then he says you have to destroy strongholds. All right, so we look at the word strongholds. Now, I want us to look at this word and dissect this word, because it's very important that we understand this, because remember, we're talking about how you are going to get your miracle. The things that you need to do in order for you to get your miracle consistently. Now, I live a life of miracles. It's an everyday occurrence. Miracles happen every single day in my life. My life is supernaturally natural. It's naturally supernatural. Every day, there is something that is happening. That's like, there I see the Lord. There I see God too. And in this, I see the Lord. Every day. Miracles are just easy. Like breathing in. We breathe in miracles. That's how easy it is. So when you follow certain principles, things will definitely work for you. So when you look at the word strongholds, are you there, guys, right? You are there. It's the word oturoma, which means an abundance or a multitude. Now, I really want to zone in on this word, because a lot of people watching me right now suffer from these particular strongholds. Now, when we look at strongholds, we are looking at things like your thoughts, for example. Maybe it is an idea. Maybe it is your words. Maybe it is certain conclusions that you have come up with. Now, those strongholds, they just start as this one simple word. Oh, I can never get healed. Oh, it's very difficult. It's not easy to get miracles. Already, you are creating a stronghold. So it comes as one thought to start with. It comes as one expression to start with. It comes as one idea to start with. And then that idea begins to grow into something bigger. So every day, you find yourself saying the same thing. You went to this service, you were prayed over, and you were not healed. And then you come away thinking, wow, it's not easy. This thing is really not easy. I went to this healing session and I wasn't healed. I went to that one and I wasn't healed. I remember Prophet telling us a story about a woman who came to church. And this woman attended a healing service. And before Prophet could even lay hands on her, she said, wait, I just want to say something. She said, I've been to this man of God. She started dropping names of men of God of influence and affluence. She said, I've been to this man of God and this other one, men of God of note. I've also been to this healing minister, big names in the healing circles. Said, but none of them have been able to heal me. But I know you can do it. That's why I'm here today. And guess what Prophet said? Prophet said, there is no way I'm going to pray for you, lady. The fact that you've been to all these men of God that I know are anointed enough to heal you and you never got your healing, there's no point in me praying for you, because you're going to come away from here with no miracle too. Why? Because he understood the principles that I'm telling you right now. If you understand these principles, you will understand why it has been difficult for you to get the healing that you desire, to get the miracle that you desire, anything you have been praying for. This is going to explain it. Now, when we look at these strongholds, You start off by saying certain things about yourself. I can never be rich. Or it's hard to get rich. It starts from expressions you are using. You see, words are things. Words are objects. When you speak them into the atmosphere, they take shape. So when you say, I can never do this, it takes shape. When you say, oh, well, good things happen to others, but never to me, that already takes shape. You are speaking objects into the atmosphere. So the more you say those things, the more they form shapes. And then they become strongholds. Now, I'll give you an example. I have some yarn that I want to show you here. Now, I like to use examples. So, right, you see this yarn. This is yarn. Some of you just call it wool. Now, I want to use this yarn to show you exactly what I mean when I talk about strongholds. I want you to catch it, all right? I want you to catch it. Now, the first thing that you're going to say is, wow, I don't have, I can never get a miracle. I can never get any healing. That's the first word. It comes in the form of an object. It's a thing. You have spoken something into existence, and it forms a line. I want you to imagine this string as the words you are saying. I want you to imagine this string as the things you are thinking about, the things that you feed your mind with. So you say something, and there, a line is formed. And then you say it again, and then another line is formed. Now it's stronger than it was yesterday when you said it. And then you keep saying it again, and it keeps getting stronger and stronger. And before you know what you're doing, you have a whole ball of yarn in your hands. And now it's so much harder to bring it apart. It's so much harder to break it because it is intertwined with so many different thoughts of all the negative things you've been piling one on top of the other until it gets bigger. Every single day you say it, it takes shape and it starts forming something you never imagined. You never thought you would be where you are today. What you say yesterday is a result. What you are today is a result of what you said yesterday. This is what Prophet always says. He says, anything that you say, if you said it last year, that's exactly who you are going to be this year. So I want you to start picturing it every time you say something. Imagine this yarn and say, okay, the more I say these bad things, the harder and the bigger they grow into something that I will find very difficult to pull apart. Imagine how dense this is. This is a whole mixture of so many bits and pieces of wool. So many things that have been brought together over years. You have always said, I can never do anything. I always start a business and it fails. I always do this and it never works. Or as for me, or you know, these big things, they're not for us. They're for others, you know. Oh, you know, cars, oh, that car, no, not for my level, not for my level, that car, no, no way, that's not my level. Why? You are busy weaving your yarn. You are weaving your yarn. Every single day, you say one thing negative, and it's building itself up into a stronghold. And yet, Apostle Paul said, you have to pull down the stronghold. The moment that thing comes into your head, the moment you think it, the moment it comes to you, you pull it down and destroy it immediately before it grows into something you cannot control. And so you get to a point where you've been to miracle service after miracle service, healing service after healing service. You've been to night of bliss one all the way through to 9 or 10. And every single service you walked away empty handed. And every single time you say the exact same thing that you said the last time. Oh, it's hard to get miracles. Oh, it never really happens to me. Oh, as for others, I can see, yes, God is a miracle working God. Wow. But for me, for some reason, maybe it will happen next year. Maybe something will take place another time. What are you doing? You are building up a stronghold. You are building a fortress. You are building something that is very hard to get rid of when it has become a stronghold. Very, very important that you pull those things down. Destroy them, as Apostle Paul says. Some of you have seen strongholds growing. First thing it starts as is just you just watch a video. It starts off as just one photograph.
That's right.
One illicit photograph.
That's right. That's right.
And then that photograph turns into something else and you want to look at it again. Mm-hmm. And then you want to indulge in this thing again. And before you know it, you have a stronghold on your hands.
That's right. That's right.
You destroy those. And how do you do it? You get enough of the scriptures in you. Enough of the word in you.
Hallelujah.
Grow enough to pull down those strongholds. Yeah. Prophet was teaching us about witchcraft. He said the only way to counter witchcraft, and witchcraft is basically words that have been spoken against you. The only way witchcraft can be removed is by countering it with your words. So when you begin to speak in the atmosphere, the opposite of what you used to say, even if you don't feel like it, even if you know that, okay, the story of my life is I've never ever prayed for anything and it happened. Even if that is the story of your life, you better start changing it. Start talking it. Oh, as for me, I am such a blessing to my generation. Oh, thank you, Lord, for placing me on this planet. These people need me. My brothers and sisters in the kingdom need me. Thank you for giving me wisdom. Thank you for giving me power. I can cause changes in my family. I can cause changes in my community. What are you doing? You are destroying the strongholds. You are pulling down the strongholds through your words and through the word of God. Are you here? So be very careful. The things that you read, the things that you allow to come to your attention, the things that are coming up as notifications on your phone. What is it that you're reading? What is it that you're listening to? These things are very hard to correct when they become strongholds. It's very hard to come back from something that you were now indulging in every day. So when you notice that, okay, I tend to usually go to this gossip column. When I open my tablet, I'm looking, okay, so what's the gossip column saying today of your favorite newspaper? You want to see who's doing what? You always like to indulge in gossip. And yet Apostle Paul is saying, be very careful of those strongholds. Because once they catch a hold of you, it's very hard for you to get rid of them. Are you here, somebody?
Yes, yes, yes.
And when you get the wrong stronghold, you get the wrong conclusion. I want to show you more of this. Let's look at this thing again. Let's look at this scripture again. Pastor Ronnie, read it again.
Ma'am.
From verse 4.
Corinthians 10, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal,
uh-huh,
but mighty through God. Mm-hmm. To the pulling down of strongholds.
To the pulling down of strongholds. Now, one thing I want to show you about strongholds before we move on to imaginations. Strongholds are worse than a deception. Mm-hmm. You see, when you are deceived, it's even easier to bring back somebody who is deceived. To say, okay, somebody told me something and I was deceived. It's easier to talk somebody out of a deception. Or if they say, oh, it's very hard for me to get a miracle. It's easy to bring them back from that deception. But when that deception grows into a stronghold, when you continue weaving your yarn, every day you are weaving it, every day you say the same thing, every day you say my marriage is awful, every day you say my spouse is a demon, guess what? You are now moving from the level of deception into the level of a stronghold. Now a stronghold becomes a mindset. That's the problem with the stronghold. It becomes a mindset. It becomes your sunesis. It becomes a part of who you are. So no longer do you just say miracles don't exist. It becomes a part of your life. It's a way of life. You are the first one to critique miracles because it's now your way of life to say, no, miracles don't exist. Oh, God doesn't really just heal people just like that. It becomes a part of who you are. And that is the danger of a stronghold. Now keep reading, Pastor Ronnie. What does it say?
Verse number 5.
Uh-huh.
Casting down imaginations.
Casting down imaginations. That's the second thing. Now, if you look at the word imaginations there, that word means reasoning or argument. So casting down arguments or casting down reasonings. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
And this is the Greek word logismos, where the word logic comes from. Are you seeing it? All right. So when you look at the word logic, logic on its own is neutral. When we talk about logic, it's a neutral word. So it can go either way. It can go the God way or it can go the evil way. So what Apostle Paul was essentially saying here was you need to understand the kind of reasoning that you have. Oh, glory be to
Hallelujah.
God. I don't know if you are catching
this right now. Yes.
I don't know whether you are catching it. I don't know whether you are you catching it.
Oh, yeah.
So you can reason your way out of your healing. You can reason your way out of your miracle. You can reason your way out of a relationship. You can reason your way out of a marriage. You can reason your way out of your miracle. You can reason your way out of anything. So Apostle Paul essentially was saying that you have to be careful. Cast down those reasonings. Because remember, he's addressing people in Corinth who are intellectuals. A few among them had PhDs. A few among them were scholars. A few among them had learned under the greatest philosophers.
That's right.
Because some of the greatest philosophers come from Greece. So I'm sure in Apostle Paul's church, there were a few people who had worked with these philosophers, a few people who had read something at school. And so he knows the kind of people he's talking to. He knows that these Christians will always want to reason a miracle. They want to understand the chemical composition of a miracle. They're not going to catch it right away. They want to first find out, how? I see what you mean, but why? You want to start reasoning in the wrong direction. You want to start arguing in the wrong direction. So he says, cast down those imaginations. Destroy, annihilate those arguments. Annihilate those reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if you need a miracle, quit reasoning. Don't be reasoning. Okay, I need to reason this. First explain this. Why must it be like this? Why must it be in that way? There is a higher level of reasoning, which is not bad. I want you to catch this. There is a higher level of reasoning, which is not a bad thing. That kind of reasoning is the one that reasons at the level of God. The same mind as God. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. When God said, come, let us reason together, he was assuming that you have enough of the word in you to reason at his level. He wasn't thinking about Christians who don't know the word. He wasn't telling that instruction to people who don't understand the word. People who don't know how to dissect the word. People whose reasoning is in the wrong path altogether. He was giving that instruction to come and reason together with people who think like him. The Bible says, as he is, so are we.
Hallelujah.
So I handle myself like him. I walk like God. I talk like God. I see like him. I handle myself the way he handles himself. I don't cower in the face of adversity. When it's time for, if it's a miracle service and I need a miracle or somebody else I love needs a miracle, I speak the word and it takes place. So there is a higher level of reasoning that you need to have in order for you to get your miracle. Think the way God thinks. And it's easy to know how God thinks. Why? Because it's all here, right here in his word. Everything is written here in black and white. So whatever your miracle is, you can get it. I said you can get it. Just by your reasoning capability, you can get it. And then we also have the lower reasoning, which is the reasoning of the flesh. When you don't have enough word in you, the things that you say, your reasoning, it's off. Everything you say is off. And you want to challenge the men of God. Oh no, first prove to us that that person was actually sick in the first place. Prove to us that that miracle is real. You want to reason. Or when you see something happening on television, somebody's prayed for, or right in front of you, somebody's prayed for, and you are kind of thinking, well, is it really true? I don't know. I'm not sure. These things, I'm not really sure. What are you doing? You are reasoning. You are arguing. God is trying to show you something that will boost your faith, but you are arguing. There is a word that is being preached that is designed to boost your faith, but you are arguing. You are reasoning. And Apostle Paul knew that this is one of the things that will cause you to always have problems. You will never get any miracle. Nothing will ever work in your life if you have this problem. So he said, cast down that reasoning. Cast it down. Don't ever indulge in it. Don't question the things of God. Don't question them. You know, when God says, believe that you are healed, and yet you actually feel sick, it sounds so crazy.
Yeah.
And you might think, oh, that sounds so silly. What are you doing? You are using logic. That legizomai, that's what you are using. You are using logic, but in the wrong way. Your logic ought to line up with the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Everything you do lines up with the word of God. Not with what people say or based on your past experiences or your friend's experiences. Your friend said, no, this business will never work. Oh, yeah, so yeah. My friends already told me. I'm not going to do it because my friends already told me it doesn't work. That's based on somebody's experience. You are using human logic for something that God said you have to use faith. So you are trying to dissect a miracle and see how it took place. You want to slice it in half and see, okay, where did God put the things together for this heart to start beating again? Where did God put things together for this marriage to be restored? You want to dissect the miracle in order to understand it. Those are the imaginations that Apostle Paul is saying you ought to cast them down because you will achieve nothing from them. So that logic, that reasoning comes through what I call a data deficiency. Now, what is a data deficiency? When we talk about data deficiency, it explains itself. You are deficient of data. You don't have enough information on the inside of you. So you start saying the wrong things without knowing that, number one, I'm creating a stronghold. I am weaving my yarn. You don't know what you are doing. So the more you say those things out of the lack of information, the more you go deeper in a hole that you cannot come out of. Now, ecologists and biologists use this expression, data deficiency, when they are talking about species of certain animals. Maybe they want to find out if this particular type of toad still exists on the planet. They'll tell you, okay, so under this one, we're going to classify it as DD, data deficient. Meaning, we don't have enough information as to how many populations of this exist on the planet. We don't know how many toads there are. So we'll just put it under classification DD, meaning data deficient. We don't have the information, so we'd rather not comment, we'd rather not conclude on things we don't fully understand. But here you are, using your logic with serious DD, data deficiency. You don't have enough information, you don't have enough word in you, but you are so quick to jump to conclusions. Oh no, miracles never take place. God picks the ones he likes. God favors people and he picks the ones that he feels are ready for a miracle, and those are the ones that catch their miracle. You are data deficient. Start getting into the word. It's so easy. You know, prophet said in his teachings, he's always teaching us that the answer to anything that you are ever going to ask, it goes back to the word. You want to grow in grace? Then get into the word. You want to grow in faith? Get into the word. You want to know more of the Lord? Get into the word. You want to obtain your miracle? Get into the word. Have enough information. Pull down the things that don't matter. Destroy them. Annihilate them. Remove them from your mind completely. This is a battlefield of the mind. The war is taking place in your mind. There is a warfare that is taking place in your mind. So if you can figure that one out, you have figured everything. Because this is the thing. You have, your spirit is sending information to your mind. And then your mind tells your body what to do. Spirit, soul, and body. So your mind is saying, I received this information from the spirit, so the body has to act this way. The body has to say, I am healed. And then the mind is telling the body what to do, and the body saying, well, I'm not going to listen to you because I feel sore right now. I don't feel like I'm healed right now. I still feel the arthritis. If I bend my knee, I can feel it. It's right there. Every time I try to jump, I can feel the arthritis. I can feel it. It's right here. Even this side of the leg, I can even feel it on this side too. So your body is at war. It is arguing. It is reasoning with the mind. The mind is telling you, right, you need to be healed right now. Because I just got information. I got a memo from the spirit that we are healed. I got a memo from the spirit that when you spoke the word, you were healed. Now start acting like you are healed. And then your body says, no way I'm going to act like I'm healed because I don't feel like I'm healed. No way I'm going to say I have money. Can't you see my bank account is in minus right now? And yet your spirit sent a signal to your mind to say, right now, there is miracle money that has been declared. Or right now, debts have been removed. Supernatural debt cancellation has taken place. Catch it, receive it. And then your mind tells your body, okay, act like somebody who actually got something. And your body is at war with your mind and so on and so forth. And that becomes a cycle. Every day, your spirit is at war with your body. Every single day, your mind is fighting with your body. It is at war. So the best thing to do is start acting it. Start acting it. Get enough data in you. Don't be data deficient. Get enough data in you. Find out a few more things. Okay, so what are the scriptures that cover my case? Okay, so my case is about my tender. And so what are the scriptures that pertain to business? And nowadays it's so easy. You can just Google some of them and a lot of them will come up. What about this one? What about this that covers this case? And you are Googling everything and it comes up. You research and it comes up. And then you start getting the data on the inside of you. So that when you start reasoning with God, it's at a higher level of logic. It's a higher level of reasoning. So when you talk to him and you are saying the same thing he says, you are thinking the same way he thinks, such that when you begin to speak, things begin to happen. Amen. When you speak the word, things begin to happen. Because you are no longer data deficient, brothers and sisters. Oh, sabra kiskota bahande de gaska. I don't know whether they are actually catching it or you are waiting for the part where you want the prayer written down for you. Imagine how many Christians rush. They rush to conclude. You rush to wrong conclusions because of data deficiency. I had a case once. I told you guys a story. Some of you know it. I traveled to Norway to minister some years back. And when I had a team of people that I had gone with, including a few couples that were there. And so we all had our little luggages because obviously it was just a two-day conference. So we didn't pack heavy like certain people who are in the studio today. But I had a little bag, maybe double the size of this tablet, maybe just double the size of this one. Because remember, it's a two-day conference, so we just travel light. No need to pack big bags or anything like that. And so the people I was traveling with, however, had massive bags. And so we got to the airport and the host sent a driver. The driver meets us in the airport terminal, takes our bags and is pushing them on a trolley. And I was walking next to this man as he's leading us to our vehicle that was going to transport us to our hotels. So we are walking there and then their team is taking pictures of us arriving in the country, and immediately they put it on the website and they said, wow, Prophetess BB Angel is now here. We are having the conference tomorrow, so get ready. Just a normal announcement, no problem. Next day, after that particular announcement came out, next day, I found myself famous on a number of blogs and newspapers. One of them in particular had written, a prophetess of vanity, vanity of vanities. I said, what did I do now? In those days, I used to check them things. I don't even check anything right now anymore. We matured because, you see, we don't want strongholds to keep building up in ourselves. So we don't look at some of these things. And so they said, prophetess of vanity. So I wanted to see what kind of vanity I had this time. And they said, how can a woman of God, the conference says 2 days, but she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 luggages, including a small one, 5 luggages, so that she can change clothes. She just likes to wear clothes. And yet out of those massive bags, mine was the tiniest at the top. The rest belongs to my team. So what was that? People rushed to wrong conclusions based on data deficiency. They didn't have enough data. I'm sure a lot of people decided never to listen to anything I was going to say from that day because they agreed with that article. That, oh, wow. So, oh my God, 2 days worth of conference and how many suitcases. These people just want to show. These people just want to do this. And yet it was the wrong conclusion. Another lady one time is walking down the street. It's a story told of a lady. She's walking down the street, and as she's walking at a distance, this is in her neighborhood, at a distance she sees a man who is tending his garden. But the man is sat down. He's sitting in a chair, so she can see him from afar. And she begins to say, this man is so lazy. Who tends to their garden sitting in a chair? The man was sitting down and tending, and she was there saying all sorts of things. What a lazy man. Who does their garden sat in a chair? He can't even stand up to tend to his garden properly. Lazy. And as she drew closer to the man, she realized that he was in a wheelchair. He was crippled. And that's the reason why he was sat down while tending to his garden. But guess what? She had already come to a conclusion based on data deficiency.
Wow.
She was using her logic in the wrong way. And what did that create? An imagination. The same imaginations that Apostle Paul is saying, you need to cast those things down, destroy them, and annihilate them once and for all from your life. So whenever you operate, have enough information. Don't be quick to say certain things, because the more you say the negative, even about other people, the more you say this about her, the more you say that about him, you are building imaginations. You are building strongholds that will turn into something that you will not be able to handle once it has fortified itself. So it's very careful that you never jump to conclusions about anybody. Anything you don't understand, it's better to leave it for your own sake, not for them, not for their benefit, for your own sake. Because remember, these are the things that hinder your miracle. Are you catching it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So you have to keep telling yourself, I am a success. That's how you counter this.
Man.
I am a success. I am not a failure. I am a wonder to my generation. Everything I desire is mine. Every miracle I desire is mine. I shall not lack. I have a sound mind. I am above and I am not beneath. Oh, I am so big. I shall cause positive changes around me. Oh, God is going to use me. I will preach this gospel. I will change so many souls to Christ. I will point so many to Him. I shall perform miracles. Every miracle I desire is mine. Keep telling yourself these things. Keep telling yourself these things. And when you are doing that, you are reasoning at a higher logic. You are thinking the way that God thinks. As he is, so are we. So I have to think like Him. Do you think God is battling with strongholds right now? Do you think God is battling with wrong reasoning right now? Never. Why? Because He has a higher level of reasoning. And that's the one that He expects you to have too. Now, if you look at this, you will see why Apostle Paul said, casting down, cast it down, pull it down. This was a double barrel. Instead of just using, because these words are intertwined, slight differences, but they are intertwined. They mean pretty much the same thing. He said, I need to give them a double barrel of what I'm trying to say. I want you to understand that you need to cast this thing down. Don't play around with it. Don't say it sounds nice. Sometimes you say things because you want people to feel sorry for you. Oh, yes, I'm just, this problem is, it's so persistent in my body. I'm just feeling so sick because you want your sister to bring you chicken soup. Oh, I'm just feeling, it's like COVID symptoms. I don't know. Can you come and look after me now? You want sympathy. Sympathy votes. You want to gain sympathy from those around you. You want attention. You know attention is nice. When you are not feeling so good, it feels so nice when everybody, people bring a little blanket, something they never do. They bring you food. Oh, please, eat. We want to see you strong. They are looking after you. And you are liking it. You are enjoying it. You are building a stronghold, brother. You are building a stronghold, sister. That is data deficiency. So never ever use those things, because what you are doing, while you are saying something innocently, you are building strongholds. While you are saying these things innocently, you are actually building up imaginations and wrong logic, wrong reasoning based on lack of data. So you have to be very careful. What is it that you're saying? What is it that you are doing? The way you are acting. It sounds so innocent. Oh, this headache is killing me. It's killing. Before you know what is happening, that headache is going to kill you for sure. I can see, I don't know, I think I've got witnesses in my Zoom church right now. I think I've got witnesses. I've got witnesses, right? Oh, my back is killing me. Oh, now my old bones are complaining. These bones are getting old. This is what you say. And it sounds so innocent because everybody else says it. Everybody else says things like that. They use those expressions. And so you tend to think it's okay to say it. It's just harmless. It's not like I'm really doing anything. But what you are actually doing in the realm of the spirit is you are weaving your yarn. You are building strongholds that are going to be very difficult for you to rip apart. Now, I want us to look at the last one that Apostle Paul says. We are still in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. He says, and bringing into captivity every thought. Do you see that one? Every single thought. Noema, that's the word thought. Bringing into captivity every noema to the obedience of Christ. So we are talking about a mental perception here when we talk about noema. We're talking about a conscious mind. You are bringing all your consciousness all of it to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want us to look at Romans 7, verse 23. I mentioned this one earlier, but I want us to actually read it right now. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. Let's read it right here.
Romans 7, verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
But I see another law in my members,
mm-hmm.
warring against the law of my mind.
Warring against, do you see what I was telling you earlier? So these three things that are destructive, these three things that Apostle Paul wanted to zone in on, are all intertwined. They are similar. It's all here in the mind. It's all taking place in the mind before we even get to your body, before we even get the miracle. This is why it's important for you to understand this before you get your miracle. Because we're not even talking about things in the body. Paul hasn't even started describing anything to do with your body. Everything he says in these two verses is right here in the mind. And then there is proof. Romans 7:23 says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. It seems as if the moment I want to do something, my body wants to do the exact opposite. The moment as I say, this miracle, I receive my miracle, the more the pain hits. You even raise your hand, you say, okay, my arm is hurting, but by faith, I'll raise my hand and I'm going to receive my healing right now. And then the moment you raise it, it even feels like it's cracking from the underarm here, from the armpit. And then you immediately put it down and say, oh no, these things are hard. These miracles, how do they even take place? And then others are testifying. And yet for you, it seems as if it's a struggle all the time. This is exactly what Apostle Paul was saying. He's saying these things are at war with each other. He says, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So it's like my body wants me to always feel. And yet the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But my body demands that I open my natural eyes to see. Every time God says, now use your faith, my body says, I don't want faith, I want reality. Now remember, Paul is talking to people who had money. And he understands, have you never met people who are learned, people who have money? They want you to explain further. They can't easily understand things. Explain it. Yeah, but how? Can you go deeper with it? And then they start asking you other scriptures. Yeah, but what about this scripture? And it's not because they want to understand, but because they are clever in their head. Because they went to school, they have a PhD. They want to prove to you that I'm more learned than you. So they start pulling scriptures from everywhere. I know a man once who used to argue like that. Way back when we started the ministry, we used to have Bible studies. And so prophet would open the Bible and he would start teaching. Okay, you see here, it says this. And the brother would just come in. Yeah, but John 4:15. Remember, brother? He says, and then you think, John 4:15 has nothing to do with what we're saying. And he says, no, but this one, brother, explain now. Let's add it to this one. Why? Because he just wanted to prove in his own head that I'm an intellectual. I'm very learned. And this man was learned. He had a PhD. So he always wanted to prove that I know better than everybody. Yes, you're bringing these verses, but I know other verses too. I'm also learned. I also understand these things. But explain further. What about people who do this? What about this? Just a simple Bible study, straightforward, backed up by scripture. He always wanted to go in the opposite. Why? Because he thought in his mind that I'm an intellect. I have my own kind of logizomai. I have my own kind of logic. I have my own way of thinking. And yet it was wrong in his understanding. And so the war is between your body and your mind. Like I said, the body wants to go in its own direction and the mind wants the body to follow it. And the body is also telling the mind, no, you follow me. And before you know what's happening, you are there in the exact same position that you've always been. No miracles to talk about. No testimonies. Nothing is happening. Your mind is held captive. So in order to have the mind of Christ and have access to your miracle, bring to utter destruction every stronghold. Bring to utter destruction any reasoning or any imagination that is contrary to the word of God. Anything that you know, and you know it. Any doctrine, any demonic influence, and you know the demonic influences, you know the wrong influences, pull those down, destroy them, annihilate them. They should cease to exist from this very moment. They should cease to exist in the mighty name of Jesus. Philippians 4:8, and I'm about to finish. Philippians 4:8. What does Philippians 4:8 say?
Philippians 4 from verse 8.
Yes.
Finally, brethren, mm-hmm. whatsoever things are true, mm-hmm. whatsoever things are honest,
yes.
whatsoever things are just, mm-hmm. whatsoever things are pure, mm-hmm. whatsoever things are lovely,
yes.
whatsoever things are of good report, mm-hmm. if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Think on these things. So what are the things you're supposed to think about? Things that are true. Things that are honest. Things that are just. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely. You just think lovely things. You're always thinking, oh, this guy must be a thief. Look at the way he's dressed. Looks like a thief. I can't trust that guy. Everything is always, always bad. You never think the best of anybody. And yet the Bible is saying, think on things that are lovely. For once in your life, think about something that is lovely. Things that are pure. To a thief, everybody's a thief. To a robber, everybody's a robber. To an adulterer, everybody's an adulterer. And you're thinking, wow, no, these people are just thieves. Because maybe you have the capability to be a thief. And then you think, oh, yeah, these ones are thieves. All churches, all men of God. Oh, no, I don't trust them. All men of God are thieves. For real, they are thieves. Imagine, you have money. People are giving their partnership. People are giving their tithe. People are giving their offering. Ah, no, they are thieves. They are thieves. Why? Because you know yourself that you would actually thieve and take that money. And so you think everybody else is like that. Whereas the Bible says, think about things that are pure. Just be pure in your head. Whatsoever things are of good report. Only good reports. Now, this is in your Bible, right? This is not just me speaking. Do you see it in your Bible?
Yes.
These are the things you ought to have every day, everywhere you are. Only good reports. If somebody comes to you and they want to say something bad to you about Shanene, you tell them, listen, Shanene is my sister in Christ. How very dare you speak about Shanene? I don't ever want to hear about this thing again. Don't ever come to me about anyone again. Why? Because you always want good reports. Anything that is bad, you don't want to entertain it. You think only good reports. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that will get you to catch your miracle faster than you can even say amen. You want to know what to do in order to get a miracle? Do these things. Think about things that are great. You see, when we preach the good news, this gospel of God's grace, it's so important. Because enough of the word in you, enough of these things in you, enough of the things you are being told, think on the things that are lovely, think on these things, think on this, think on that. That word has the ability to change you from the inside. So if you had tendencies to do things that are wrong, if you had tendencies to the things that have been mentioned here, oh yeah, I usually do this, and I have a stronghold of something, I usually think the wrong thoughts, and I find myself thinking about this. If you have those things and you're having those experiences, understand that you need to get more of the word in you. Amen. God's grace has the ability to change anybody. Amen. God's grace has so much power. Don't underestimate the word of God in you. Because that grace ability in you, it has the ability to cause changes from the inside. Grace can push a change from the inside. Do you understand that? Grace argues a change from the inside. What does that mean? It induces a change from the inside out. That's the ability of grace in you. So when you look at these things and you know that you're struggling, Prophetess, today you actually touched me because I'm that person you were talking about. I usually entertain these thoughts, or I usually do this and I usually do that, and I usually also indulge in a few things here. I'm afraid I've built strongholds in my life. Listen. Enough of the word in you. Enough of God's grace in you. Has the ability to change your life forever. You can change your life forever. Amen. Right now, where you are, you have that ability. Hallelujah. Start getting into the word. Yes. Start talking the word. Hallelujah. Start confessing the word. Everywhere you are just speaking and speaking the word. Everywhere, you just speak the word. Even some of your answers to questions is just the word. You speak the word. I know who I am. I am so great because I have somebody who's on the inside of me who is greater than he that is in the world. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you have created me to do the best, to be the best. Oh, glory be to God. So everywhere you are pacing in your room. You are pacing everywhere you are pacing. And under your breath, you are muttering these words. You are speaking the word. You are speaking it under your breath. Everywhere you are, while you are driving your car to work, you are driving and you are saying it into the atmosphere. Oh, I know who I am. Thank you, Lord, for making me a leader in the marketplace. Thank you, Lord, for making me a good wife. Thank you for making me a good husband. Thank you for my beautiful family. Even if you know your children are rascals, you're never going to say it. You're going to say, oh, I love my children. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the best. I have the best family. I have the best family unit around me. I have the best church. I have the best pastors. I have the best brothers and sisters. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. Imagine, I'll say this in conclusion. Imagine how it's so easy to build a stronghold. Just by saying something that starts off as one little string and then it transforms into a whole other thing you never thought you could create out of your words. Now, if we flip it to the other side and we say we are no longer saying negative things, we are now saying positive things. Now, imagine creating a string of something that is positive. It starts off as one string and it's positive. And then you say another positive thing and it's growing into positivity. Imagine the good that you can create through your words. No longer are we building strongholds. No longer are we building things that are going to be hard to pull down and tear down. We are now building things we actually need in our lives. We are now building miracles. We now live a life of the miraculous. Because you see, when you do the opposite, it's so easy for the things to take place. Why can't you flip it into the positive things? Why can't you speak good about yourself? Oh, I can do all things. I can do it. Or this assignment, I can do it. This degree, I can do it. And I'm going to complete it. This business, I can do it. Nobody in my family has ever had a business, but I'll be the first one. I'm going to be the pioneer. I can do it. What are you doing? You are building the right things. And by so doing, you are casting down strongholds, imaginations, pulling them down, destroying them, annihilating them. They will cease to exist because of your words, because of what you say. So that is the best way to get your miracle. I want you to raise your hands so that I can speak life into your life right now. Just raise your hands wherever you are. Raise your hands wherever you are so that I can pray for you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for those who are under the influence of my voice. As I cast down, as I pull down, as I destroy, as I annihilate every stronghold that they have in their lives. I remove those strongholds in the name of Jesus. I remove all those imaginations, those reasonings, those arguments. I remove them in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, everything you have said that is negative about yourself, let that thing be removed right now in the name of Jesus. Anything that you have said in the atmosphere that created a stronghold that you are struggling to pull down right now, I command that stronghold, I command those walls to come down right now in the name of Jesus. That stronghold shall never return to your life. That problem shall never return to your life. Any thoughts that were not held captive to the things of the Lord, I remove those thoughts from your life. Supernaturally, by the power that we have in the name of Jesus, the power invested in me by the power of the Holy Ghost, I command those strongholds to fall. Right now, something is happening. Right now, something is happening. Those strongholds are coming down. They are coming down and they are being destroyed. Oh, they are being destroyed. You better believe it. They are being destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. any thought life, your thoughts. There are people who are watching me right now. You were struggling with thoughts. You are sitting 1 minute. Next thing you know, you are thinking about something you never even intended to think about. That's demonic influence. The devil is trying to create strongholds in your life. He's trying to create strongholds that are going to be hard for you to remove. Right now, I remove those bad thoughts in the mighty name of Jesus. Those are traps, and I remove those traps in the name of Jesus. I remove them. I remove them. I remove them. In the mighty name of Jesus. There is somebody who is watching me right now. You have thoughts. You have lesbianism. I just got that right there. You are thinking, I'm a lesbian. I have these thoughts. You go to church. People know you in church. And they don't know you are struggling with this thing. But right now, I just heard it as I was standing here. The Spirit of the Lord said I should speak on this. And you are watching me right now. You are struggling with this thing. It came as a thought. And then you entertained it. And when you entertained it, you were weaving something. Something that you never thought was going to get to where it is now. Because now everywhere you are, even when you are trying to worship, boom, the thought is there. Even when you are walking, you are just doing anything random, the thought comes to you. If that is you, then right now, we pull down that stronghold in the mighty name of Jesus. We pull it down in the name of Jesus. Whether you are male, female, it doesn't matter. If it matches you or if it's similar to something you've been going through, right now we are praying for you. We pull down that stronghold in the mighty name of Jesus. Those walls are coming down. So those walls are coming down. Any demonic influence over your life, we remove it in the name of Jesus. We remove it in the name of Jesus. Remove it, we remove it right now, right now, right now in the name of Jesus. From this day forth, anytime you have funny thoughts the devil is trying to push into your head. Some of you have thoughts, oh, why, you can just talk to that lady or talk to this gentleman. It doesn't matter. Nobody will ever know. Just do this. Just take it. No one will ever know. Just do it this way. Just say it. Nobody will ever know it came from you. Any thought like that, from this day forth, counter those thoughts. The moment it comes to you, that is not your thought. So don't say, oh, so something is wrong with me. No. That's the devil trying to get you cornered into a trap. So never think it's your fault. That's the devil trying to make it your fault. But anytime it comes, understand where it's coming from. Understand where it's coming from. It's coming from the pits of hell. The devil wants you to be caught up, and he wants you to be caught up for good. But we already know his plans, his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. We already know how to handle it. So right there where you are, begin to say the direct opposite. Anything that comes into your thoughts and you are struggling with it, every day you are struggling with it, say the direct opposite. Oh, I am so blessed. The devil is trying to get you to say, well, I'm so broke. No, I am so blessed in the name of Jesus. The devil wants you to think, oh, you are so bad. Look at the things that you are looking at. Look at the videos you're watching. Oh, you are so evil. God will never love you. You rise up from your seat, put those things away and say, I am so blessed. Oh, God loves me more than I even realize. Oh, I am God's beloved. God is not trying to score. He's not looking for me to score any points. Remember who you are. You have the mind of Christ. Always remember that. So when we declare miracles, it ought to be easy for you to receive them. Why? Because you simply say the wrong. You have already cast down everything that prevents you from getting your miracle. And these are continual things. This is something you do all the time. Always keep yourself on check. Always keep yourself. What am I saying? No, I cannot say that. This is not God's reasoning. This is now my own. This is not God's logic. This is now my own logic. Keep it aligned. It says all the things that are lovely, only think of those. All the things that are good, only think on those. All the things that build you up, only think about those. Anything else, cast it down. And you will have no choice but to listen. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to appreciate you guys. And I know that you have learned something today, that if you take it, if you live it, these things will be so easy.
Right.
It will be so easy for you to acquire what you need. Just speak the word. You should hear me talking to myself. It's so funny. Sometimes I end up laughing at myself because it's so hilarious. I really talk and I say things into the atmosphere. What am I doing? I'm creating words and objects. When I say something positive about myself, I'm creating objects, and it's a reality. I'm speaking a certain reality, and I know that that reality is forming into something that is not a stronghold in my life. I'm countering every word of witchcraft, every word of negativity that was ever spoken against me. I am countering it by my own words. So keep saying it, brother. Keep saying it, sister. Keep on saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep on saying it. I am a millionaire. I am a billionaire waiting to happen. Oh, I'm gonna make a fine woman of God one day. I'm a fine man of God. Oh, people shall know Christ through me. Oh, glory be to God. I'm just gonna be the best in my family. I'll be the Joseph of my family. I'll look after my entire clan, and I will have so much money I can afford to do it. I will travel anywhere I want. Nobody can deny me a visa. I'm gonna go anywhere. I will do business everywhere. I will meet people of influence, and I am going to be a person of influence. Keep on saying those things. Write them down if you have to. Stick them everywhere in your house. Remind yourself every day of who you truly are. And you will live a life of miracles. Every day, miracles will be a daily occurrence. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus.